Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you today. Good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ has an invitation for you. That invitation is expressed in many ways in the Word of God, as God calls people to Him from every stage and every point in life. And in the book of Revelation, where the Apostle John was given a vision of the things yet to come, he was also given a message to the churches of his time and of all times, I guess. Because in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, this is what was revealed to John. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, and that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear to cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is a very powerful passage of Scripture that has been used in evangelism and in church teaching for 2,000 years. And we are going to take a closer look at what it means in a few moments. But first, let's listen to a song sung by Michael Card, where he offers the plea to Jesus, "Jesus, let us come to know you." And this is from Michael Card's album, The Life.
Thank you.
The scripture that I've just read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." That verse is given as a presentation to the call to conversion, to invite everyone everywhere to welcome Jesus into their lives and accept his call to follow him. It's an open invitation in which Jesus is positioning himself as though he's come to your house. He's describing himself as someone standing there. He's knocked on the door, and he's waiting for your response. There's a famous painting of this scene as it's imagined by an artist of long ago, where he paints a garden with a doorway into a house, and it's kind of overgrown and neglected, and Jesus stands there with a lantern, and he's knocking on the door. And after the painting was finished, people would remark upon it that, oddly, the painter had left out one detail. He hadn't put a handle on the door. And the painter responded by saying, that was fully intentional. The door can only be opened from the inside. Jesus knocks on the door and awaits our response and won't force himself in on us. That's a very good understanding of the way that Jesus allows us to make our choices, even choices that are not the right ones. And he hopes that we will turn to him when we discover that we need him so much. The passage, in fact, speaks to people who think they don't need anything more. This passage in Revelation has Jesus addressing its recipients as people who say that they're rich, that they have got wealth and they don't need anything. They've got fine clothes, they've got nice homes, they've got everything they could want. And Jesus says, if only you knew. He seems to be saying, and he certainly is saying the truth, that these things which count as our comfort and our security for this moment in this life are pitiful things, are small things, and absolutely inadequate to meet our needs as human beings, as people created in the image of God, and as heirs or potential heirs of eternal life. These riches that we exult in, this fascination we have with our own stuff and with our own accomplishments, these are the things from which God calls us. He knocks on the door and says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says it to the weary and the heavy laden, and he says it to these people who think they're rich and doing well. Jesus is a gracious Savior, calling people who know that they need salvation, and even calling out to people who haven't yet realized that what they have is certainly not enough to bring them through life and death with God's grace. And this is a true offer of fellowship from God. He is offering to come in the image of the scene. He's offering to come in and sit down and eat with you, and to go out with you, and to be your constant companion through life. He's not only the one who will eat with you, but also is the bread of life, the one who will feed you. He is the river of life, the one who will restore you and strengthen you. He is all things, everything that we need. And he is also, in this passage, someone who is willing to say the hard truths. He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Have you been feeling some rebuke in your life? Feeling that a realization that things that you're doing have been hurting others, that your life is not measuring up to the glory of God, that you have indeed fallen short. This is not some condemnation from God in which he is rejecting you, but in fact, it's part of his love for you that he would help you to realize the need to turn around and come to him. God is offering a true invitation to give you his blessing, his counsel, his guidance, his forgiveness, and eternal life. And he calls upon you to accept this gracious invitation. In the image of scriptures, it looks like getting up and answering the door. It's as simple as that. And it's a beautiful invitation, if you've never accepted it before, to begin a walk with Jesus Christ. But perhaps if you've noticed as we read the Bible reading this morning, Or if you've read this passage before, you might have noticed that Jesus isn't primarily addressing someone who doesn't believe in him. In fact, this whole passage is addressed to the church, the people of God in Laodicea, people who have accepted Christ, people who have already welcomed Jesus into their hearts. So what is Jesus saying to believers when he says that he is outside our door as well? Well, we're going to take a further look at this. We're going to examine this closely. But first, let's listen to a song by the King's Heralds in which they express their own belief that although they are believers, if they ever needed the Lord before, they say, we sure do need him now. Let's listen to this together.
If we ever needed the Lord before, I know we sure do need him now. Oh, we sure do need him now.
I say we
sure do need him now.
Oh, glory.
If we ever needed the Lord before, I know we sure do need him now. We need him every day and every hour.
So although this scripture is often used to address people who have not started following Christ, Jesus is actually addressing a group of Christians in this particular passage, a group of Christians who have lost their focus. He describes them as people who have lost their humility, their sense of worship, and above all, are lacking in their love of God. He describes them in rather harsh terms. He says, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm, and since you're neither hot or cold, I'm ready to spit you out of my mouth. Not a pleasant image. It sounds like the three bears, you know, where one bit of porridge is too hot and one bit of porridge is too cold. But here the third bit of porridge is just nothing. It's so bland and so tasteless that there's nothing to endear it to the one who has it. Jesus is describing a group of Christians who have become bland and tasteless in their Christian walk. In fact, as we hear the description, we hear something that makes us think that this group of Christians might actually be offensive. He describes them as people who are so full of themselves, confident that they're rich and that they have everything they need, and there's a tinge of a sense of superiority that they're better than everybody else. These Christians have lost a great deal. And one of the things they've certainly lost is a good testimony in the community around them. This isn't a unique situation. In fact, Scripture, of course, is given not just to document what happened in the past, but tells us a lot about how the dangers that we face as we pursue Christ in our lives. And here is a danger of being lukewarm, of being so confident and presumptuous of what we've received that we no longer seek after Jesus with all our hearts. The world around us notices when this happens. And perhaps if you've been listening to this message and you've been thinking about the call of Jesus to become a Christian, you've got in mind some Christians that have become like these who were in Laodicea, people who don't show the love of Christ in the way they live. Jesus is calling to the church to be more like him, to be filled with his love, to be humble, both in their dealings with God and with humanity, and to live as far as possible in peace with all people. And Jesus is calling to his church as though the church, while it goes through all the motions of worship and study and fellowship together, that they might have locked Jesus out of the house. They might have left him right out of the picture. It's a call of Jesus not to a church which he hates, but a church which he loves, but a church which falls far short of what they could be through his Holy Spirit and through his love. The church is not made of bricks and wood and steel frame, but the church is made up of people. And if the people of God are ready to listen to the word of the Lord, he tells them that he has been left out of their worship and he's been left out of their lives. And he calls them to repentance. Just as they were called at the very beginning to turn away from sin, they're called to turn away from this new sin, this sin of appearance and pride, which has led them away from Christ. So to me, this word comes as a rebuke and a correction, to turn my heart more to Jesus, to not leave him out of any part of my life. If you as a Christian have been letting Jesus stand aside while you go your own way, remember that he who called you is faithful and that he intends to be your companion and your friend in every season and every portion of life. And that in fact we learned long before when we first turned to Jesus that we could do nothing apart from him. How have we forgotten? Having once been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, do we think we're to run on that like a tank that eventually runs dry? Or are we to be constantly filled with God's presence? Are we to continue to seek him now that we found him? Continue to pursue him now that we're following him? Yes, indeed we are. God calls us to open the door and let him back into our lives, both individually and in our worship Sunday and our study during the week, and whenever else we are doing the things of God. We can't leave God out of our worship or our mission. When we go and we feed the hungry, when we go and we take the good news to others, we can't do it purely by technique or ritual, but we must continue to seek to have God present in everything we do. He stands at the door and waits. And will you open it? Perhaps you don't relate to what I've been saying so far, but you have been feeling kind of tired and alienated from your Christian practices. You have been finding your scripture reading dry. You've been finding it hard to get out and go to church in the morning. You've been finding it difficult to work yourself up to that ministry and service that you've done in the past. Is it possible that just taking a little bit of time to let Jesus come and work anew in your heart, to feed you again from his own life, to strengthen you with his own presence, that might be the key to being restored in your walk with Christ and with his body? There's an opportunity here for us as Christians to hear anew the invitation that he stands at the door and knocks, and we can invite him in. I hope that those of you who have seen from the outside the problems of the church are listening to this message and recognizing that God is calling his Christian people to be more faithful, to be more full of the Holy Spirit, to have more love in their hearts. The fact that we fall short is a given in Scripture, and we have to keep on recognizing that as Christians. But to those who have not yet accepted Christ, we urge you to look at how faithful He's been to us, that He continues to call us even when we have fallen short, that He continues to reach out and draw us and offer us His presence. We want you to know that the invitation He's given to you still stands. And if we have been imperfect witnesses to His grace and glory, we repent and we ask God's forgiveness, and we also ask the forgiveness of those who have been hurt by our insensitivity and our failure to be faithful to Jesus. Humbly, we would still remind the world around us that Jesus is still standing at your door and knocking as well. We prayerfully turn to Jesus and ask Him to come in, to set right what is wrong in us, not merely so that we will have eternal life, but so that we will not be a barrier to others as they seek to see Jesus in His church. I pray that you will see Jesus in His invitation, and you will come to Him and experience His presence and grace. Let's take some time at the end of this message here to pray and to ask God to let us respond and open the door to Him. Almighty God, you have been faithful, patiently waiting for us to respond to you. You have been gracious, whether we've fallen in sin outside of our relationship with you or whether we've fallen back into sin while we have been walking with you. You are gracious and still love us, and we give you thanks and praise. And we pray, Almighty God, for renewal in our hearts, for your presence with us, that you would come back and be in our midst. Lord, we pray this for your church, that throughout this country and throughout the world, that the church would be renewed in truth and love, and that the world would see that we have indeed become passionate for you again, that we are seeking you with all our heart, and we are serving you with humility and with grace. And we pray that the world, as they see this, would see that this is you inviting them to come and receive you as their Savior. We thank you that this grace is available to all people, that you gave the sign of the fullness of your love when you offered your life on the cross so that we could be forgiven our sins. And we pray that all people everywhere might come to know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening today. Please continue to listen as we play a song that invites you again to come as you are, sung by Jackie Velasquez from her album Crystal Clear.
One step to eternity, and He will always love you. This promise will be true, so true.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.